Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here to kick off another week with a great trip report. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Allie to talk about a very recent, kind of last minute impromptu trip. We're going to talk some DVC Moonlight Magic, an unexpected stay at Coronado Springs, and more. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. As you know, we've talked about this for about a year now. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life. You have The Wisdom of Walt, which deals with Walt Disney and turning his dreams of animation into a three-dimensional experience that all Americans and folks all around the world can walk through and experience the characters in those stories they know and love. And more importantly, these books get you some hints. You know, Walt Disney got the most out of those around him, and author Jeff Barnes takes those lessons and applies them to 2018, where you can improve your relationships with your kids, your family, your coworkers. It's a really great read. It's not just for the Disney fan, to get you fired up for life. Also, don't forget about the newest book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, focusing on Walt Disney World. Check them out today. They're over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day of your trip, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with pictures, and so much more. For the cost of a Mickey ice cream sandwich and three Mickey bars, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. Don't delay. Drop by touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1347 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Check it out. Just yell at your connected devices around the house and tell them to play Magical Mouse Radio on TuneIn, and you're filling your house with great Walt Disney World tracks. But more about that later. We're getting ready for an awesome trip report. We're heading down to Walt Disney World today. I love it. I'll be there in person, actually staying at the same resort that Allie did. I'm so excited. Coronado Springs, here I come this Saturday. But for right now, let's talk about a recent trip. Allie's down in San Antonio, Texas. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Glad to have you. And sounds like you had a great trip here very recently. When did you guys go down?
We left on May the 12th and returned home 9 days later. But so, sort of wasn't supposed to be that long.
I was going to say, you got home that day, but you weren't. That wasn't what was marked on your calendar back at the house when you got home, right?
Nope. My husband lost his mom on Thanksgiving. And so for his first Mother's Day without her, I wanted to do something special. Her birthday is also that week. So we planned to fly to Orlando on Saturday and come home on Thursday. And my friend lives about an hour from Orlando in Satellite Beach, and she came to meet us, and she took our five-year-old with her to spend those days so that we could have kind of a grown-up trip, and he could have time at the beach. We're not beach people, and he loves the beach, so he wanted to go visit the beach.
So you guys are Disney fans, though. So going to the beach is, it's always a lot of fun, but there's always that draw to, you know, like it's like a big magnet, you know, right in the center of the state. Walt Disney World's drawn me in. Did you feel that?
Totally. We love it. We're DVC members. And so we just like to kind of stick with what we know. And there's no sand.
That's true. At least it's when you're at Walt Disney World, the beaches might not be real, but they don't get up. You know, the stuff isn't sticking to you all the rest of the day, you know, kind of like it is over at Daytona or something.
Right. And no sharks.
That's true. There's gator. There used to be sharks at Typhoon Lagoon. I still kind of miss them. That was the coldest water I ever swam in my life, by the way. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. So tell us about how you got to Walt Disney World. You guys went to the beach originally. So how'd this all get together?
Well, we flew to Orlando, and we were staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And so my friend met us at the hotel, and we went over to Disney's Animal Kingdom Park, and we ate at Pandora and did all of the kind of fun stuff. I love Satouli Canteen. It's one of my favorites.
Me too.
And so we, you know, let the boys kind of do their thing, ride their rides, and then she took off with both of the kids. She has a son almost the same age as mine. And so she took the kids and off they went, and we went back to the hotel, just the two of us. And on Mother's Day, we did the Wild Africa trek at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Yes, tell us about that, because, again, a lot of folks ask me about this one, but I haven't gotten to this one quite yet. It's always good to have firsthand experience.
It is amazing. It is the best money I think I've spent in Disney World in a long time. They take you in the back there by where the safari is, and they hook you up. They give you safety gear and all this stuff, and then you go on a backstage trek through I guess it starts on stage, like through the aviary and such, but then you get into the backstage area and you walk over to where the hippos are, and you get an actual firsthand view right over a ledge at the hippos. You're just 20 feet from them instead of being all the way back on the safari car. And we got to see Augustus, the baby hippo, and they talked to us a little bit about the animal care and the different animals that are there. And then you go over that suspended bridge by the alligators.
That seems like that'd be so fun / scary.
Yes. And they're taking pictures of you the whole time. The pictures are included. So you don't have to worry about not being able to bring your cell phone or anything like that, because they take tons of pictures. And the guides were so nice and knowledgeable. And at each little stop, we met up with someone who worked in that stop. So we met up with a hippo caregiver and an alligator caregiver, and they answered all of our questions about the animals. And, you know, we got to get up close and personal and take some pictures and have a good time. And then we got on a safari vehicle and we drove through, you know, the same kind of area that the regular safari goes through, but we went on a little bit different paths. You know, you can always see where there's turnoffs that go one way or the other. And so we got different vantage points of the animals, and we got to watch the baby elephant just playing her little heart out in a dirt pile. And it was the cutest thing. And we sat there for probably 20 minutes and just watched as she threw dirt on the people, on the other elephants, and climbed on the other elephants, and just was having the time of her life.
That's what it's all about, though. It's that intimate interaction with the animals that when you're on the regular safari, while it's neat and it's great, and I enjoy going on the safari day and night now, but you just, you know, the vehicles have to keep moving. It's just the nature of the beast. But yeah, when you're on something like that with, you know, private guides and it's a very intimate setting, you guys got to really kind of see them in their natural habitat at a different level than the day guest.
That's right. And then I don't know if you've ever noticed, but as you go around by the flamingo pool, up on the right-hand side on kind of a bluff, there's a little patio. And that is where the tour took us. And we sat there and we had a nice lunch. Different foods, all African-inspired. There was a curry chicken salad and an edible flower and, I don't know, a whole bunch of things. It was little bites, but it was very filling. And it was just really delicious.
I've seen that many times, and I was like, I want to do the tour because I want to sit in that gazebo and eat. It just looks like such, you know, we talk so many times on this show about, you know, you can go to Walt Disney World so many times, and there's so many things even if you like your Pam Forrester and you've been there, I don't know how many times she's been there, more than I can imagine, but there's still places that she hasn't gone and places to experience, and that's one of them. Like, I want to sit on the Savannah and eat a meal. So you got to do that. That's cool.
And you can't see it from the regular safari track very well, but there's a little deck that extends out kind of behind the pavilion there, and it takes you behind where the ostriches are, and so you get a whole different little view of that area, and it's just really neat. And you get to sit there uninterrupted and watch the animals just roam and the safari trucks go by and all that. And all the people looking up like, who are those people?
I love that, because you're like on stage. Mm-hmm. You're like, you know, for me, it'd be like I'm a giraffe or something, because I don't know. Look at that guy. You know, he's out there in the middle of the space. So how many people are on this this tour for you? I'm always curious about like the tour size for these things.
I think there were about 10 of us.
Nice, nice.
Four or five different couples, yeah. I think that's about right. There were, I think, 10. So it was a nice size. You know, we got to know everybody, but it wasn't overwhelming.
And how physically demanding would you say this is? Would there be any, like, issues for somebody that may have mobility problems? Or is it something that you consider pretty active? What do you think?
It is a little active. The second half when you're in the truck is not so much because it's not vastly different than being on the safari itself. But the first half is trekking through those woods. I mean, you go off road, you're backstage, and it's tree roots and rocks and like any hike through woods, through wilderness. So it is about maybe an hour that's really demanding. And those, the bridge, even though it's completely safe, you know, it's Disney real. There are some gaps that are pretty wide. I don't have long legs. I'm not Mike Rallman blessed, but, there were some moments I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make that. So you definitely need to be mobile. I don't necessarily think you have to be physically fit. It's not straight uphill, you know, it's not long hikes. But definitely you have to be able to negotiate that.
Interesting. I love hearing the firsthand experiences because there's nothing better. Now, how do they wrap up the tour? I'm always interested in, because I've been on lots of tours and they always kind of, you know, in true Disney fashion, kind of have a neat little ending. You know, they kind of tie the bow and send you on your way with like, oh, I wasn't expecting that at the very end. So was there anything special at the end of this experience for you as they sent you on your way?
It was, the end was not particularly ceremonial on this one. They pull up into the same line of vehicles that are coming off the regular attraction and they let you off and you're free to go. Because by that time you've already gotten rid of your safety vest and all that. You don't need that once you get on the truck. But they give you at the beginning, they gave us water bottles and those were ours to keep. So they're nice metal water bottles with the tour logo on them. And they had frosty towels because it was hot. So they had them in a cooler and we got those. It was very nice. It was a very, very nice experience. And I would recommend it 100%.
Sounds like it. Oh, I want to do that when I'm down there this this next few weeks. I can't wait. Oh my gosh, so much to do though. Like I don't have enough hours. I don't have a lot of money extra. You know, I spend all my money on my accommodations, but this is a nice splurge. I really want to do this. So I'm glad we talked about it. Now another thing you did while you were there, because it seems like you did a lot of tours here. You did the backstage magic. Now that's what we call the big one, right? The all day.
It is.
Okay, so I want to make sure we get this in because not a lot of people do this one because of time and because of cost. So give us, of course, this is like 8 or 9 hours worth of tour. Give us about 10 minutes of what this is like to actually do it.
I will. And that's about the right amount of time because I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't done it. But you go to Epcot in the morning. And again, there's two guides and they take your pictures. You start at the front and you get in a tour bus. And they take you back around to where the American Adventure is. And you learn a lot about the construction of Epcot and how it functions, because you got to remember, like, as cool of an experience as the onstage part is for guests, it has to function for this huge team of people responsible for running it every day. So it's amazing to see how close together Soarin' and the Japan Pavilion really are. I mean, it's feet. You can almost touch one building and the other building at the same time because they're that close together. And it doesn't seem like that when you're on stage because of the way it's laid out. So we got to go inside the American Adventure Pavilion in the back and see how they make all of those animatronics appear throughout the show, the mechanism that they designed for it. And my husband and I are theater technicians, so we are big theater geeks and just
perfect.
Watching.
Yeah, that's perfect for you. That's awesome. That's exactly right up your alley, seeing how like it's produced. I mean, because it is. It's a show that's produced multiple times a day.
It is, and it's incredible. And this technology that has been since 1982, and, you know, I work for a technology company, so I'm looking at the servers going, they don't even make these anymore. But
please don't
But
break.
They weren't made disposable then, so they still work. So that was very, very neat. And then we got to go and see creative costuming, where they create a bunch of the clothes. And hanging on the wall, they have the Rivers of Light costumes for the shamans. Have you seen that show?
I have a couple times now.
Well,
not the biggest fan. I love the visuals of the show. I need more Disney. I know it's like it fits the environment of Animal Kingdom. I get that. I know people get on me about this, but like I need a little Buzz and Woody or something to spice me up when I'm at a nighttime show.
Well, and I completely agree. But the costumes for the shamans are so incredible. And up close, you look at them and you look at the shells and you think, oh, they're all shells, but some of them are fabric because then it's not so heavy. And all the scales that move in the wind are 3D printed with fabric. I mean, it's amazing. And the whole thing is machine washable.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess that makes sense. I mean, if you can have that, I can't imagine something 3D printed that you can machine wash, though. I mean, that's unreal.
It's crazy, the technology, but it was very cool to stand in there and watch the manufacturing process and just racks and racks and racks of costumes. It's like, you know, Magic Kingdom, and you see behind it all of the Main Street costumes and then Fantasyland costumes and, oh, here's one for Snow White and here's an Aurora dress and whatever, and it just was so cool.
So before you move on, because I have a question, again, I appreciate that you don't want to spoil this for anybody, and I totally agree, because it's all about discovery on these tours and, you know, getting stuff that you're not expecting. That's why you want to go kind of peek behind the curtain. But when you go into these places where, you know, things are happening, especially like in costuming, I remember back in, a long time ago, on the backlot tour over at the studios, where you would go through that tunnel and it would, you know, it would be the costuming department, but it almost looked like it used to be the costuming department. Nothing was happening in there, but there were lots and lots of props and probably leftover costumes and so forth. But in this area, did you see like a bustle of activity? I mean, things were really happening. Cause I mean, I'd imagine with as large as Walt Disney World is and the costuming they have to consider somewhere, this stuff, I mean, there has to be a lot of people doing this all the time. I mean, is that what you saw?
Yes. There was a team of people at sewing machines. And we could see them just sitting there going about their work. We watched a guy cutting out pieces for a costume. I don't know what costume it was, but he had the giant cutter on and he was cutting out little pieces of fabric for something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we could watch the embroidery team at work through a wall or through a window. And, you know, there were people, they were working and doing their thing. And when we went in, they made an announcement that there was a tour in the house, I guess, so everybody was aware that we were just tromping through there.
Put your cigarette down. Let's get to work.
But they were, I mean, it was wonderful. Everybody was so kind and just sort of did their thing while we watched. And it was incredible. The details, I felt like my eyeballs weren't big enough to soak it all in.
That's exactly how I feel on these things. Like, we went through the utilidors. Like, I was thinking, you know, because you can't have, when you're backstage, you typically can't have any kind of phone or camera or anything out like that. So, and I totally respect that. I get exactly why they're doing that. But it's like, I want my eyeballs to be like video cameras because I want to remember this. I'm trying to capture it the old-fashioned way, you know, with my brain. But it's so neat because you're seeing stuff that I've read about in like every guidebook I've heard about. You know, you hear all these urban legends, but like I was in the utilidors on Keys to the Kingdom and it was overwhelming. I really want to do Undiscovered Future World because I think they go into the costuming department too, and it's not the whole day tour. So I did a new World Showcase tour last year, which I really enjoyed. I can't remember what it was called. It was just myself and one other couple from Japan that didn't speak English. So it was a really interesting tour. It was three people. But I really want to do that because the costuming really does kind of interest me. And it makes me excited that you saw like, you know, activity happening. It wasn't just staged.
Yes. And they had a small rack of costumes that we were allowed to touch. Because most of the time it's like, don't touch anything.
Exactly.
Which you get, right? These are very expensive. But they had a small rack of costumes that we were allowed to like pick up and touch and stuff. And it was like a Spectro Magic jacket.
Oh.
And I mean, it was just really cool for the nerdy ones. And what was also nice is that at every stop, they had an exclusive photo opportunity. So in creative costuming, they had this giant wall of thread. And we were allowed to stand there with our Backstage Magic sign, and they would take pictures of each couple. And so we got all those pictures at the end of the day as well.
Nice. Nice. Okay, so this is a busy tour. So you go through Epcot, you go through costuming. How do they get you from place to place to place and all that? The tour bus, I guess?
A big tour bus, and that had snacks and water, and it was very, very nice. And after costuming, we went to the laundry, which was the coolest thing to see, how they wash and fold all the sheets and towels and stuff that come in from all the resorts. The system they have, you would not believe. And this is a fun fact for you. It is the lowest turnover department in all of Walt Disney World is
really?
In the laundry.
Are you kidding me? That seems like that'd be the most monotonous job that you would want to escape as soon as possible. But, you know, and it sounds, when you said that, I giggle because next we got to go to the laundry. And you're like excited about it. And so am I. I'm like, ooh, I want to go. Because I just want to, I mean, just the scale of Walt Disney World. Because when you think about how many rooms there are just at Pop Century, you know, like, I can't imagine. And you got great, you know, then you have all the other hotels and you got all other considerations and that they get that done every day. I mean, that's just, it's mind blowing when you think about how many machines have to be running constantly and getting them here to there and everywhere. Oh my gosh, that has to be so cool.
Yeah, it's incredible. I can't even describe the system, and I wouldn't anyway, because I want people to see it, but it was awesome. And what was really cool is, you know, that's a job where they don't get to see guests every day. You can see how that might feel a little disconnected, because they're not the ones who get to hand out balloons or replace ice cream that fell on the floor or whatever. And so at the end of our little trek through the laundry, they have a stop and they say 1, 2, 3, and everyone just goes, thank you. And everybody stops work and waves at the tour. And it was just really kind of a cool touch.
I love that they do that, though, because for one, the people going on this tour are most likely, and I'm saying this very lovely, Disney geeks. You know, we like to thank the cast members. And my gosh, let me just tell you, if they didn't do their job, we'd really hate life. So that's good stuff.
Well, it was nice to be able to make a little magic for the cast, because the cast does that for us every day.
Absolutely. I love that. That's a great touch.
Yep. So then we had lunch at Whispering Canyon, which, despite everything you hear, is still full of shenanigans.
Good deal. Good. Okay, the freak out is over. Officially, it is over, people. It's the end of June. We're back. The world is back to spinning. Catch up everywhere. Whispering Canyon's all good.
And the ginormous jars of soda when someone goes through a Coke too fast, man.
That's always me.
They get a gallon bucket.
I drink way too much soda.
So that was nice. It was a nice little break to sit in. And of course, Wilderness Lodge is gorgeous. Then we went to Central Shops, which is where all of the things go to be repaired. And there's this giant warehouse, and you're walking past, and it's like, well, there's a teacup, there's a mine car, there's a Frozen boat, there's a, you know, fill in the ride vehicle here. We saw probably 12 different types in all different stages of disassembled, because they take them apart. They're on a rotation. So say on Big Thunder Mountain, they have 6 trains. And at any given time, one train is always in Central Shops being taken apart. They MRI all of the metal components to make sure that there are no micro cracks that are causing safety issues. They clean everything. They repair everything. They replace all of the nuts and bolts and screws and all of that hardware and put it back together. And it goes back over to Mine Train, and they pull another one off. Thunder Mountain. And they pull another one off. And that's how all of the vehicles are maintained. And so they're all there, just kind of in various stages of repair. And it was really neat to see the guts.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, with that is that not only would I just get the biggest kick out of seeing these things kind of out of their native environment, like a Big Thunder Mountain train in there being serviced, and how, because I'm a science geek, you know, like you said, engineering and production and stuff like that. I love this stuff. And when it gets down to my Disney experiences, that's even better. But I'm not a big Excel person or anything like that, but I would love to see how they manage, you know, just keeping track of okay, train 2 Big Thunder is in here on Monday, June 24th. All right, you know, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, train 6 is going to be in here, you know, on July 2nd. That's got to be just the scheduling and the getting it from here to there. And it just blows your mind away. It blows your mind how big Walt Disney World and how many moving parts there are. When we think about things going down,
so many.
It's a miracle things don't go down more. They lose things I can't imagine.
I asked if Maleficent was there, but they wouldn't tell me.
Exactly. Where's the dragon?
It was kind of one of those, she might be here.
That's right.
Kind of things.
Don't look behind the curtain.
We got to take a photo with, do you remember in Maelstrom, the giant bear animatronic, the big white polar bear?
Yeah, but I think they took him over to the Coca-Cola meet and greet is what I think he is now.
He's kidding. In Central Shops. We took a picture with him.
That's awesome.
So, and I'll make sure you get some of these photos if you want them for the show notes or anything. I think we're Facebook friends, so I can tag you in those albums and you can see. But we took a picture there, and then we went to the Magic Kingdom and went into the Utilidors and got all of that history. And that's just insane. I got so turned around. I was overwhelmed with all the things that they have down there. Pins after pins after pins and posters and all kinds of stuff. And it's incredible to see how that functions.
It's incredible, too, how and again, you know, I think everybody listening to the shows knows that, you know, the utilidors are down there. But the thing is, until you actually go down there to experience them, because I had them in my mind's eye what it would be like for probably a decade before I actually did the Keys to the Kingdom. We went down there and it's tight. I mean, there were times where like a golf cart, not a golf cart, but some kind of like flatbed, you know, vehicle was coming by, you know, transporting something from one area of the park to the other. And we literally had to kind of stand along the wall, kind of like an elementary school, you know, like, okay, we got to squeeze through here. And, you know, it's practical, but you can tell it was built in the late 60s, early 70s. And it was very utilitarian. I mean, I doubt that they had any idea that, oh, someday we're going to be taking guests through these tunnels to go on a tour. You know, that's an afterthought, which is fine because it's there to service the park. But I mean, that's what you get when you go down there. It's really neat to see.
Well, and then thinking about the cast members, I mean, because the utilidors only service what was built when it opened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And none of Frontierland existed. So the closest one, I think, comes out kind of behind Liberty Square. Like between Liberty Square and Frontierland. And so if you're working Big Thunder Mountain, you got to come out and then walk all the way back. It can take, she said, up to 30 minutes, sometimes even 45 from where the cast members park to where they are on stage.
It's that stuff is amazing, you know, and that's, mm-hmm. I think today we're actually selling a lot of tours because the folks that listen to our show are typically folks who've been to Walt Disney World multiple times and are looking for a new way to see their favorite place. And I've always said a tour is an amazing thing to do. My wife, typically our anniversary is in June. We always go down in the summer, and a lot of times either for Father's Day or for our anniversary, she'll gift me a tour and she'll take the girls and go to Disney Springs or, you know, go to a spa or just swim at the pool, whatever. And I'll go on one of these tours because they're not as interested in that kind of stuff. But it's like every time I walk away, steam trains, Marceline to the Magic Kingdom, Keys to the Kingdom, what have you. It's like you're just geeking out. I mean, it's so awesome. You not imagine just getting all over Walt Disney World and getting this kind of access to things we just don't normally see. It was just, it sounds like just so fun.
So great. And they really do start very reasonable. I mean, the ones we did were a little bit more expensive, but they have tours that start at $39, $69. I mean, there are some that don't necessarily have to break the bank and are still really cool.
Yeah, I agree. So. Keys to the Kingdom's a really good deal. I mean, I say you should start with that one because, you know, the Magic Kingdom's pretty much, I think, what everybody really goes to Walt Disney World for. As much as we love Epcot and stuff, I mean, it's kind of a great starter one. Then you can go out from there. And that one you can get for like $70 with an AP discount, sometimes in the 60s. You know, with an AP discount, so not bad at all. And you got to remember, it includes a meal. So the meal's usually about $20 at, you know, whether it's Columbia Harbor House on a cheaper tour or Whispering Canyon's a more expensive meal. So how does Backstage Magic wrap up? I mean, because you start in the morning and here it is mid to late afternoon and you're wrapping up. How's that go?
Well, they drove us back from Magic Kingdom to Epcot. They were doing trivia and answering any questions that people had. And then as you get off the bus, they hand you a card. It has a special pin that's a Backstage Magic trading pin, and it has your photo code on it. And they drop you back at the bus loop where the buses drop off to Epcot, and you go about your day. And that's usually between 3:30 and 4 in the afternoon, where the tour started at 9.
So because again, when I go to Disney, I usually go back to the hotel and swim or take a nap midday just because, you know, when I'm there for vacation, that's what we do. So is it one of those things? I'd imagine you're pretty tired at the end of this tour, even though you're not like you're being transported by bus and you're seeing it's just I'm sure it's a lot of walking and a lot of on your feet. I mean, as exciting as it is, it probably kind of wears you out by the end of the day.
It was a lot. It wasn't too terrible because it would be, you know, 30 to 60 minutes of walking around followed by 15 to 20 minutes on a bus, and then you'd walk and then you'd be on the bus and then you walk and so forth. And this is one that is fully accessible. You just need to let them know if you use a wheelchair or ECV so that they can have a bus that's equipped to carry it. But other than that, if you're in a wheelchair, which we did have someone on our tour in a wheelchair, there are elevators and they could fully participate in all of the pieces of the tour.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. That way everybody can have the access. That's great. So
correct.
You're going to cost me a lot of money doing this show, by the way. I'm already looking at my credit card. Okay, so a couple other things I want to hit before we get out of here. And the time's limited, but I want to make sure we get this in. So you did the DVC event. You mentioned your DVC over at Animal Kingdom, Moonlight Magic. This looked like it was awesome. I was watching on social media, so give us a firsthand account. What did you guys think of that?
it was wet. It was so wet because it just poured and poured and poured and poured until for about 3 hours, from maybe 5 until 8, it was just pouring. The event was at 9:30. And after the day guests were sort of being asked to leave the park, and they have special character events. You go get a wristband. There are locations throughout the park with free food, hot dogs, chips, ice cream, all kinds of any kind of beverage you could want. It's all included. All of the rides were open. So my friend and her family got to ride the Flights of Passage with only an hour wait right at park closing. Which is a really good wait if anybody listens to this podcast.
If you're a first time listener, only an hour it's a great deal, let me just tell you.
Yes, because that's really short. And of course, there's no fast pass, so that also increases the speed of the line, mm-hmm. Because everybody can just go through. There's no waiting for the fast pass people to go first. I got to meet Jiminy Cricket, which was like my bucket list, gotta do it kind of thing. And then I met Russell and Doug, but with Carl, the old man.
Oh, nice.
He was there. They had Darkwing Duck and the DuckTales characters and all kinds of other character opportunities throughout the park. All the rides were open, and it was just really nice. It wasn't crowded. And after that rainstorm, the weather was good, too. And that goes until 1 a.m. So it was really neat to be in the park very late.
So when you were down there, it rained, right? The whole, because I remember, like, it was like a week of solid rain in Florida.
That would be the week we were there.
Okay, so that was there. So you guys are veteran Disney travelers. Just, you know, you've been there many times and know how to make the most out of it. And you did these tours and so forth. But, I mean, what advice can you give somebody for when you're there, when it just rains and rains? It sounds like the old Seas Pavilion, the deluge. Like, it just doesn't stop. I mean,
it rains.
Did you guys figure anything out to not let it rain, you know, ruin your trip? Because, I mean, that's key. You got to kind of have that in the back of your mind.
So every time we go, we bring 2 pair of shoes. And you wear one day, and then you wear the other the next day, and you put them on top of your heating or cooling unit in your hotel so that they dry out in between. And you just bring ponchos from home. Our local discount store sells ponchos that are brightly colored, and we brought them from home, and you just go. Because the parks are great in the rain.
They are.
They really are.
They are. I know. I feel so badly, especially for folks going for the first time when you get just a streak of rain like that, because it's okay. We go in the summer and we always get the afternoon thunderstorm, which is refreshing. You know, I beg for that some days, because otherwise the heat index is like 105 and you're just dying, which it's like being at home, because in St. Louis, it's the same. But once you have that thunderstorm, it usually cools it off for the evening. So I'm like, yes. And I can go back and take a nap, and it's good sleeping weather with a good thunderstorm going on in Florida. But yeah, when folks go down there, especially for like a first or second trip, and it just rains and rains day and night, I feel so bad because, you know, in your head, you have the picture of blue skies, you know, puffy clouds and Cinderella Castle in your picture, you know, and it's so frustrating when I see folks not getting that.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you don't get sunburned.
That's true. Good point. Because I do. So that,
it was very nice.
That's a great point. Now, so speaking of the rain, though, you guys, your flight was canceled coming home. So tell us about that whole change of plans here.
So we'd gotten our son back on Wednesday before the party, the DVC party. And the plan was that we were going to get up, do a half day in the park in the morning, and then go to the airport. Our bus was like at 1. We get to the airport, and okay, your 4:30 flight is now at 5:30, which then became 6:30, which then they told us, well, actually the plane that's coming in has to go to Tampa and refuel. It hasn't even gotten there yet. We don't know when it's going to be able to take off. So I went and talked to the gate agent. I'm like, look, I got a 5-year-old. Are we getting out of here tonight or not? Because if we're not getting out of here tonight, I don't want to spend the night in the airport with my 5-year-old.
Amen.
And so she goes, well, what I can tell you is every flight after 4:30 has been canceled this whole week. And so I said, well, when can you get us out? She says, well, Saturday afternoon is the earliest. I was like, well, forget that. Let's go till Sunday then. So she booked us on a Sunday morning flight because I didn't want to have the same problem on Sunday. On my phone.
So sorry to interrupt, but this was on Thursday that she told you could get out Saturday?
Yes, they had bumped so many people throughout the week, it had backed up.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well, if I can't get home to work on Friday, which was the plan, we were going to go home Thursday night and work Friday. I might as well stay the weekend. So I got on my phone, booked, I just looked up pass holder deals, and Coronado came up with a really great price. So I booked us 3 nights at Coronado, and we went and asked after our luggage. Well, Disney being the efficient machine it is, when we checked our bags that morning at Animal Kingdom, they sent them to San Antonio. It doesn't wait for you, fun fact, to get on your plane. It just goes.
How can they get out? You can't get out, but your bags can. They got more pull than you.
Fortunately, we had our son's things in a carry-on, so all of his stuff was with us. But we checked into Coronado with nothing but the clothes on our backs and his little bag. And we went and bought bathing suits so that we could wash our clothes every night. And we wore the same clothes just for the next 3 days.
Hey, nobody knows.
And then I donated them to Goodwill.
There you go. I love it.
Wearing that Dumbo shirt again.
It's kind of like Amazing Race Coronado Springs style is what it is right there.
I have been dying to stay at Coronado Springs. I can't even tell you how long, because I'm a super huge Caballeros fan. And they're everywhere.
They are.
So walked in and my son was like, Ponchito on the store. And he was just in love.
So now that you guys are DVC, so again, probably staying in the DVC properties, this gives you an opportunity. You know, again, with difficulties, many times come opportunities. That's what I try to tell myself, and I try to tell those around me. You know, sometimes you can turn that negative into a positive. So did you have a good stay at Coronado Springs? I mean, the construction's going on. I was just down there in April. Didn't bother me much. The tower's going up. There were, you know, a few construction barriers here and there, but the resort's still pretty much fully functional. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah, we were right by the dig site pool. We were right by a bus stop. And, you know, it was just a really amazing stay. The staff was unbelievable to us. They heard that we didn't have stuff, so they sent a little basket to our room with hats and chocolates and things just to make us more relaxed so that we could have a magical time. And we went to the parks. Now, I'm a huge planner, right? And sometimes you got to be. And I'm a big fan of using, you know, travel agents. I think that they're really good at what they do and so valuable. But I will also say that it's not impossible to do a little last minute stay or extension and still have a really good time. We had no ADRs, of course, because we weren't supposed to be there. We had no fast passes. And we just kind of made those things as we went along. We ate at a couple of places we hadn't been. We ate at Tony's Town Square, which we hadn't eaten at since our honeymoon. And it was just really nice to go a little slower and see things we didn't normally get to see. We had just a really lovely time. And since it was all bonus, it's like we weren't stressing about, oh, I got to go do Soarin' or I got to go do this. And
isn't that so weird, though, because it's almost like playing with house money. You know, like when I go down every once in a while for a media event, and it was a trip that I didn't normally have planned. It's just, you know, one of those opportunities that comes up a month before, you know, or Disney will call us or send us an email, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the event happens. And you go down and it's almost like there's no burden on you at all. You know, like if I ride Jungle Cruise, bonus, I got to ride Jungle Cruise. Wasn't expecting that. You know, and like you said, having a meal at Tony's, wasn't planning on that, but it was fun. You know, so I think that it's so strange because I think we put too much pressure on ourselves with the planning, which is necessary. Don't get me wrong. You got to have a good plan nowadays to have a successful trip. But again, on the flip side, with zero plans, sometimes it's just like, hey, you know what? Let's see what happens. And you have a great time that way.
You do. So it was very, very cool. We all in all had a wonderful time. We're going back in September for our regular annual vacation, and that will be more structured and more planned, but it was amazing.
Sounds fun. Hopefully the rain stays away in September, but I can't promise you that after last year.
Yeah, last year we were there for Irma.
I was going to say, I didn't know I want to hear September. It's got to be dry. It's got to be dry.
Yeah, and plus, we've been there, done that. We're not afraid.
Yeah, I was there for Charlie way back in like 2005, 4, something like that. It was a nut house, but hey, we have a memory, so that's the way I look at it. So, Allie, I appreciate it. It's been a great great show. A lot of folks probably booking the tours right now. I'm very excited to do both of these. And just thanks for the insight on Walt Disney World here just last month. So I appreciate the time today.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books to get you fired up for life, you know, to help you build better relationships with those people around you while still getting your Disney fix. You get to read all about Walt Disney and how he got, he just, He had amazing ideas. He was so creative. But one of his greatest strengths we don't talk about very often was how he just got the most out of his teams. He could build a team and everybody bought in. And I mean, how much of an asset is that in today's world? If you can be one of those leaders that builds teams, whether in your family or at your place of business, amazing. And author Jeff Barnes really brings this to life in these books. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com and stay out of lines. Have a good time on your next trip. You know what? Touringplans.com works great. Even if you don't have plans, it can bail you out right there. Boom, on your smartphone. Oh, wow. Well, this park's a 10 today. Don't go there. Hey, this one's a 7. I'm heading that way. Great information, 365 days for about the cost of fish and chips over in England. No problem. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. I'll be down in Walt Disney World starting this Saturday for almost 2 weeks. So make sure you're following on the social media because I like to post pictures, videos, live stuff. It's going to be a blast. So follow us there and on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And please don't forget to support the show when you shop on Amazon. Just go to BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thank you so much, as always, for checking in. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. I sure did. So for Allie, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.